This is Donald Hassig with Loving the Earth Environmental Revolution. Joining us today is Ben Gerhardstein. He's with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The particular centers are the Center for Environmental Health, the National Center for Environmental Health, and the Agency for Toxic Substance and Disease Registry. We're going to be talking about the national conversation on public health and chemical exposures. Good afternoon, Ben. So let's talk background on the national conversation. Tell us the background of the national conversation so people can become familiar with that activity that took place. I think it started back in 2009.
Yes, the national conversation on public health and chemical exposures was a two-year project supported by the National Center for Environmental Health and the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry. And through this project, we engaged thousands of people across the United States in developing an action agenda. This action agenda contains recommendations for protecting the public from harmful chemical exposures. The project itself sought to, the vision for the project was a nation that uses and manages chemicals in ways that are safe and healthy for all people. And the action agenda was developed through this project, and it was authored by an independent leadership council that we helped bring together. It was released in just June of 2011, just earlier this summer, and it calls for an array of changes in the U.S. approach to chemicals, presenting an overarching vision aimed at prevention of harmful chemical exposures before they occur. And just briefly, the process itself for developing the action agenda involved a broad-based collaboration and a high level of public participation and transparency.
Okay, let's get right to the action agenda. What are the recommendations of the action agenda, which will bring us to the day when the United States of America uses chemicals in a way that is safe and healthy for all people?
The action agenda contains about, I think, 48 detailed cross-sector recommendations, and they're organized in seven public health outcome-oriented chapters. So the seven chapters, and I'll kind of just review them, I think it provides a good window into kind of the goals of the action agenda. The first is focused on protecting public health by preventing harmful chemical exposures, kind of getting upstream. The second focuses on collecting and using information on chemicals and population health so that we can enable effective public health protection, so making sure we have the right data and information. The third is achieving a more complete scientific understanding of chemicals and their impact on human health. There's a lot we don't know about specific substances, and we need to fill those knowledge gaps. The fourth chapter focuses on vulnerable communities and promoting health and wellness where we know communities are being affected by environmental chemical exposures. The fifth is on strengthening the ability of citizens to participate effectively in environmental health decision-making, so supporting the nation's citizens. The sixth focuses on building the capacity of the public health sector and health provider workforce so that when problems arise or need to be addressed upstream, they are ready to do so. The final chapter focuses in on reducing harm from chemical emergencies through prevention, planning, and coordination of relevant agencies and organizations, kind of a very specific or at least a focused issue there on chemical emergencies. So each of these chapters has several recommendations that kind of get at the main ideas there that I've outlined, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Can we do a little bit of expansion upon Chapter 1 and Chapter 4? That first chapter, that seems to be the most important chapter to me, the one on preventing the exposures. That's what our organization is all about. Cancer Action New York started in January 2000, And our whole focus was minimize exposures to chemical carcinogens and other carcinogenic agents. So can we talk some about the specifics of that chapter number one?
Sure. I'll outline just two of the featured recommendations from that chapter. A third might come up later in our conversation. So the first one was to for a range of sectors to really promote the substitution of hazardous chemicals with less toxic alternatives. And there are a range of different, I think, policy approaches and government and business practices that can be supported to phase out the use of hazardous chemicals in favor of those that are safer. The second, and in so doing, we protect downstream users of products and workers who are in facilities that are producing products. The second that I'd outline, it was a number of people within the national conversation process wanted to highlight the need to reform the Toxic Substances Control Act. And so there's a recommendation specific to that piece of legislation in the action agenda. And I think that actually dovetails nicely with the first recommendation around substitution of hazardous chemicals. Some of the goals of reforming TSCO would support that specific aim.
Okay. As far as anything in Chapter 1, the Prevention of Exposure chapter, is there anything in there, any recommendation for public educational outreach on exposure minimization?
I think a lot of that public communication and education effort falls into the fifth chapter, actually, that focuses on public engagement and communication strategies and supporting the public in making informed choices.
Okay.
So there's a recommendation in that chapter that highlights the need to have multi-directional communication between government agencies, for instance, and members of the public who are concerned with harmful chemical exposures. There's a recommendation about improving the public availability of data and clarity on what chemicals are in products throughout the supply chain so that members of the public can make informed choices and also choose which products they want to support, and in so doing maybe impact the decisions that are being made by businesses around what chemicals to use in products. So I think a lot of that is those issues that you raised fall into that chapter.
Okay. Is there any more focus you want to give on that chapter then? Is there anything in particular that jumps out at you that, you know, would be good to hear about that chapter on this particular part of that chapter? The public engagement chapter.
I think that one of the things we heard a lot from people participating in the national conversation process is the need to kind of start early and in the education of our of youth and on a range of environmental health issues, but on chemicals in particular. So there was a focused recommendation around the need to build curricula for schools K into secondary education around issues relating to chemical exposures and health.
And I'm very glad to hear you saying that, because we have found in all of our work, we've existed since January of 2000, and in everything we do, it's so clear that the best vibe, the best energy we encounter is when we're talking really to kids in the, say, 4th, 5th, 6th junior high. These are the people that are the most open to this message of these chemical hazards. They are excited about it. They want to learn how to minimize their risk by changing their life and doing something different. So I'm very happy to hear this being said by leadership in the national conversation. Let's talk a little bit more about this thing of children. There's this fantastic report. It has just came across my desk. It's a report from the World Health Organization. It's dated 2010, and the title is Persistent Organic Pollutants, Impact on Child Health. And there's this wonderful recommendation in this very tight, it's 58 pages long, very good, tight report. It has a huge amount of science and some very powerful recommendations. The recommendation I like best is that the leaders in the health arena, which certainly includes the National Center for Environmental Health and the ATSDR, the Agency for Toxic Substance and Disease Registry, as well as all the rest of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The one I focused a lot on is the Division of Cancer Prevention and Control. All these various public health entities under the umbrella of the CDCP. This matter of health arena leaders, including public MDs, public health people, governmental employees in public health agencies, as well as the private physicians, they all joined forces to minimize the exposure that children receive to persistent organic pollutants. This report, it just seems to fit so well together. It come along, it's a good time with the action agenda. Can you just speak a little to how you might see this report influencing the steps you're taking on the action agenda? Will it, for example, will it make a special emphasis on this matter of educating children?
So I confess that I'm not very familiar with the WHO report, so I can't speak to its intent specifically, but I can address the issue of you know, protecting children from harmful chemical exposures with as it relates to the action agenda. And I mean, just as you've described the intent of the recommendations in that WHO report, I think that dovetails nicely. It's aligned with, in some ways, what we saw emerge from the national conversation process. So, in the action agenda recommendation in the first chapter, in the prevention chapter, specifically addresses the need to protect children from harmful chemical exposures. That recommendation notes that government officials and other leaders should give consideration to children's unique vulnerabilities, their susceptibilities, exposures, and at different developmental stages, and also pay attention to the places, the specific physical places where children live, learn, and play, and to do this all as part of ensuring that protecting the health of vulnerable populations is foremost in our policies and practices. So I would just outline that recommendation as an important one for members of the public and for decision makers to take to heart when it comes to children's health.
Okay, we've had some recent recent communication with Dr. Thomas Frieden, MD. He is the top person in the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We wrote to our Congressman Bill Owens, in the 23rd Congressional District of New York State, and we did this because we're concerned about the persistent organic pollutants exposure that takes place here in this congressional district. We are the St. Lawrence River Valley, and we're downwind from the Great Lakes, this big POPS reservoir. And so we wrote to Congressman Owens, and then he passed the letter along to Dr. Frieden, and Dr. Frieden wrote back, and we were asking for answers to these questions about, these strategic questions about POPS exposure cancer risk, and Dr. Frieden was very straightforward. He described the fact that there is scientific evidence that there is a POPS exposure cancer risk, and we went on to find disagreement within our view of this and his, that it was not possible at this time to actually quantify how much cancer risk is imposed by POPS exposure at current levels of food supply contamination. And then Dr. Frieden went on and pointed out that some education was already taking place on this by way of website content that exists, especially under the umbrella of the Agency for Toxic Substance and Disease Registry, you know, the toxicological profiles for the POPs. There's tox profiles for dioxins and PCBs and some of the other POPs, some of these pesticides. And I have been discussing this matter of how much education is taking place from the federal government here in St. Lawrence County, because see, we have been trying to motivate our county public health department to do more educating on the POPs than is being done anywhere on earth, more along the lines of what is being recommended by this WHO report. We have been recommending that for several years before we were aware of the WHO report, before it came into existence. And I'm just wondering, can you kind of help me work through this matter? That respond to this for me. We are saying to our county legislators here that we're trying to get to give the task to our St. Lawrence County Public Health Department, this task of creating a public educational outreach program focusing on POPs exposure minimization. We're saying that the content on the CDC ATSDR websites, this these toxicological profiles, that is just too much information for, without kind of pointing to any particular group of chemicals as ones that people should be making changes quicker on and jumping on first, and then, you know, not feeling like it's just all these chemicals, that something different has to be done by every individual to minimize their disease risk. So we've been arguing with our town boards and our county legislators that is, you know, not to only, say, put links to the federal government websites that have information about POPs, that is, it's just too confusing. There's so much information, especially when you got all these other chemicals that are also right there with all these, this long list of toxicological profiles. And even if you break it down to public health statements and even the tox facts, you're still talking about many, many pages of documents. So we feel it's important to have a focus on particular big groups of disease-causing chemicals like the POPs, these persistent organic pollutants, especially considering the fact that people have been exposed over such a long period of time, since 100 years, basically gradually building exposure from Monsanto inventing and beginning to manufacture and distribute PCBs back in the 30s. And now, you know, this brominated flame retardant use going on right here as we speak. So there's been a long history of exposure to POPs and their endocrine disruptors and their carcinogens. And we've really liked the idea of focusing on the POPs as a start on addressing this matter of minimizing harm that occurs from chemical exposure in the U.S. So do you see any relevance to, you know, this position we're taking, that it would be valuable to focus on particular groups of chemicals at our level? You know, say in our county, we have this POPs exposure excess because of being on the St. Lawrence River, where also near these factories where a lot of PCBs were used, Alcoa, the Aluminum Company of America, Reynolds Metals, former Reynolds Metals, now operated by Alcoa, and as well as the GM powertrain site with General Motors using PCBs. There's hazardous waste sites here. There is the long history of eating fish on the St. Lawrence River. We're downstream from this huge POPs reservoir and downwind from this huge POPs reservoir that is constituted by the Great Lakes here in this kind of central area of economic activity, both in Canada, province of Ontario in particular, and the U.S., the Midwest and Great Lakes states. So can you just see what I'm saying about that? We believe that it will help out here to minimize relevant and important exposures by having a focus on this particular group of chemicals.
So I think really all I can say about that, not being familiar with the issues that are, you're facing in your community, and also not having not being knowledgeable about the communication between your group and Dr. Frieden, is that throughout the national conversation process, we heard, I think, time and again, that communities and individuals feel very strongly that clear, understandable information publicly available is critical to, you know, informed decision making and to making choices that would minimize exposures. And I would say that, you know, we definitely do our best here at ATSDR and CDC on a range of chemicals to make that information available. And I know the tox profiles can be dense, but that they are used to develop more concise communication materials as well that are on our website. I unfortunately don't think I can weigh in specifically on the issue of whether persistent organic pollutants are appropriate to focus in on for your community, but I certainly understand and can appreciate the need to provide, you know, clear and understandable information to community members.
Okay, let's go now to, I read the action agenda, and the part that struck me as the best part of the agenda for our organization to get traction on was the recommendation that the ATSDR, the Agency for Toxic Substance and Disease Registry, start playing a more active role in public educational outreach around the Superfund sites, you know, the hazardous waste sites that they are responsible for educating around, to do more. And then what I did, I've gone and contacted several Superfund site communities. There's one down in Nitro, West Virginia. It's where a Monsanto operated company was producing the 2,4-5-T, which was one of the constituents of the Agent Orange. And there's a lot of dioxin contamination in the Kanawha River. And this Kanawha and Putnam counties are where the people live that are exposed to these chemicals from that Monsanto facility. And it's my understanding, I spoke to a lady that said that she was familiar with all the education that took place there throughout the course of many, many years since this was being produced back in the 1960s and probably 50s too, before the Vietnam War and during the Vietnam War, producing the Agent Orange constituent, this 2,4-5-T, which had a heavy dioxin contaminant. She stated to me that there had not been any educational outreach on this whole group of chemicals, the total POPs, you know, basically warning people that the dioxins that they were had been exposed to and continued to be exposed to in the Kanawha River, that they should be concerned about the dioxins and PCBs and brominated flame retardants, which all have similar adverse effects that they were being exposed to when they buy and consume any animal fat, whether it be pork or beef or chicken or fish or poultry or dairy products, any animal fats containing these persistent organic pollutants. And this is what we believe. We believe that that will be good to do that kind of educating in our county and also at these POPs contaminated sites, because we believe that it's wise to use the limited resources to focus on the people that have had the most exposure in the past and continue to have the most exposure now. So I was just really happy to see that piece there about encouraging ATSDR to be more active in educating on the chemical exposures and minimizing the exposure that took place. I believe that minimization about exposure was in there.
Great, thanks for noticing that.
Yep. Okay, is there anything more that you want to share with us?
I think the only thing that I would share is that, we supported this process, this national conversation process, but we're also very serious about making use of the action agenda within our work. And you've noticed a few areas within the action agenda where it calls on NCH, ATSDR to implement some recommendations. And we are working to implement a number of them. I don't feel the need to kind of detail them in a very formal way, but we're looking at some ways of improving our scientific methods at sites, better involving communities in our health assessment process, and building capacity of community groups that we're working with so that they can, I think, do some of the work that you're describing as being important in minimizing risk. We're also looking a little bit more closely at ways that we use biomonitoring techniques in community settings or potentially moving forward with our public health assessment process in a way that incorporates some biomonitoring techniques. There's some others as well, but I just wanted to make sure that your listeners understood that we're taking this action agenda seriously in-house.
Yeah, I believe you are, because, see, we've had some really good conversations with Dr. Timothy Hack in the Office of Policy Planning and Evaluation with these two centers, the National Center for Environmental Health and the ATSDR. And Dr. Hack is now at the stage of having ATSDR scientists look at the scientific research that we've presented to him on this subject of the persistent organic pollutants and the harm to health, the cancer and the diabetes and the heart disease and the obesity and these various other very important damages to health that are caused by POPs exposure. He's having ATSDR scientists look at that science and then weigh in as to what they think as to how important a risk, how important a disease hazard this constitutes in the U.S., and especially around the POPs contaminated sites. And then we're going to continue our discussions of how to minimize the harm that results from the contamination of these sites and basically the contamination of the global environment with persistent organic pollutants, so as to have caused our food supply, you know, the commercial food supply, as well as the wildlife and the fish, to all contain these chemicals, and our bodies to all contain these chemicals.
Great. Glad to hear you made that connection.
Yep. So we feel that ATSDR is... I've always liked ATSDR. I remember reading their toxicological profiles when we were trying to deal with a Superfund site, this Sealand Restoration hazardous waste site. It was an EPA Superfund site. I read those toxicological profiles on the chemicals that were there, the PCBs and the arsenic and the various other hazardous chemicals that were in that site, and I felt like I knew something. It was a good starting point, and I just want to say honor to the ATSDR for all that good work they do on those toxicological profiles.
Great, thanks.
Well, it's been very good speaking with you, Dr. Gerhard Stein. I want to know I'm pronouncing that name right, right?
Gerhard Stein, yeah. Okay. Pretty close.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I hope you have a great day, and we'll look forward to continuing working together on minimizing the harm that results from the past and continuing contamination of the environment and preventing any as much further contamination from taking place and making sure that doesn't do any more harm than can be addressed by public education and pollution minimization.
Great. Thanks so much.
Yes, good day. This has been Donald Hussig with Loving the Earth Environmental Revolution. It's clear that government is beginning to come around, recognize the strong desire of the public for public health protection that is real and that is concrete and that makes use of all the scientific knowledge that exists now to minimize the harm that will result from the past careless and widespread and heavy use of chemicals in the United States of America. We're hoping that people will get into this kind of work and use their good vibe and strength to bring change. It's Donald Hussig with Loving the Earth Environmental Revolution. Have a great day.